Hello and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for November 2012. This month is a great month for observing the planets. All seven of them are reasonably well placed to view, although the more distant planets, Uranus and Neptune, will need binoculars to see. Jupiter is the best and most prominent object to view this month. It is even better if you look at it through binoculars or a small telescope. The point to note here is that if you do use binoculars, to make sure that you use a camera tripod or even a wall or fence to rest the binoculars on. This will stop the inevitable handshaking and make for some wonderful views. You should see the four largest moons of Jupiter, or sometimes one, two or three, as some of them can be hiding behind or in front of the planet itself. If you have a reasonably powerful pair of binoculars or telescope, then you might even be able to see some stripes on the planet's surface. So where to find Jupiter? It is currently in the constellation of Taurus, and Jupiter is very bright and really stands out. If you look south, late evening, the very bright object is bound to be Jupiter. Let's move on to the pair of planets that are closer to the Sun than the Earth. That's Venus and Mercury. These are both visible just before sunrise this month. So Venus first. This is very obvious in the east-southeast, immediately before sunrise. It is the very bright object, but take care not to look at the Sun either directly or with any binoculars or telescopes. Mercury is a little more difficult to find, but it is in the southeast of the sky towards the end of November, and it really is too close to the Sun to see before then. Okay, on to Mars, the red planet. Unfortunately, Mars is not well placed to view, the best time being around 4:30 in the afternoon. It is currently in the constellation of Sagittarius, the Archer, in the southwest. Finally, Saturn, the ringed planet. You'll be able to see a hint of the rings with basic binoculars, but with a stronger pair, you'll be able to make out some of the rings quite well. It is best seen at the end of the month, around 6 a.m, and it is quite low down in the southeast at this time. The Moon is also fun to observe, with binoculars or a small telescope. Don't, however, fall into the trap of looking at it at full moon. It is not dangerous to look at the Moon this way, but it is very bright and may cause some discomfort for a short while. It is much better to look at the Moon when it is in crescent form or half-moon phase. This way, the light from the Sun is arriving from the side, and so the craters and mountains have great shadow relief, and hence show up better. The best time to view the Moon this month is in the second half of the month, especially around new moon on the 13th. Full moon is on the 28th. In fact, there is a lunar eclipse on the 28th, visible from about 4 p.m. for about 50 minutes. The Leonid meteor shower occurs on the 16th to the 20th of November. Expect to see about 15 per hour. Right, now we'll look at the sky and try to find some interesting things to look at. Take this podcast with you and find a nice viewing location with a good view of the sky with little or no light pollution, especially from sodium lights. I'm assuming now that it's about 8 p.m. at the start of the month. Look north. Can you see the Plough, or the Big Dipper, or the Saucepan? This is a well-known group of seven stars in the shape of a ladle or saucepan. At this time of the year, its base is downwards, or the right way up. Find the two stars on the right-hand end. That's the two stars away from the handle of the saucepan. Now trace a line upwards from these two stars, and the next star you'll find is Polaris, the pole star. Now look at the three stars forming the handle. Look closely at the middle of these three stars. How many stars can you see? You should be able to see two stars very close together. And these two stars used to be used as an eyesight test for the military. Now look towards the east. That's your right. And you should see a fuzzy group of stars called the Pleiades. This looks really good in binoculars. It is a group of really young, really hot stars about a few million years old. You can still see some of the gas and or nebulosity that they formed out of left swirling around them. Now look up. You will see a W, or an M, whichever way you look at it, made out of five stars. This is Cassiopeia. Now follow to the point directly over your head, and then to the same distance again the other side, and you are now looking at Cygnus the Swan. You should see a six-star cross. If you can follow downwards towards the ground about a third of the way, you'll come across a bright star called Vega in the constellation of the Lyre, a Grecian musical instrument. Now look carefully in a long arc going through Cygnus and Cassiopeia. Can you see what looks like a long, thin cloud? This is the Milky Way, and you are now looking directly towards the centre of our galaxy. You will need a good, clear night, free of light pollution, to see it, though. Finally, on to Leo. For this, you need to get up early in the morning. First, find Orion in the southwest. Now look due south, and then look up about two-thirds of the way from the horizon to the overhead. You should see a backwards question mark. This is the Lion's Head. Now find the bottom bright star of this question mark. This is Regulus. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool is a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year, and these are readily available for any good bookshop. Listen out next month for December's highlights. Bye for now.